It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska. After Wrangell's deadly landslide last month, search and rescue teams worked around the clock for days looking through debris for six missing people. Ultimately, five were found dead, and the last person has not been found. For searchers, it's exhausting work. There were, however, a few members of the team that helped raise morale. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra spoke with Wrangell's search and rescue team to find out more.
Speak. Good boy.
That's Steve Prasunka giving commands to search and rescue dog Cody.
Oh, yeah, she'd get a biscuit for that, I think. There you go, Cody.
Cody is one of six specially trained dogs that are part of Wrangell Fire Department's Search and Rescue, or SAR, team.
These dogs are kind of part of the team. They're worker bees.
And a month ago, the dogs faced one of the harder jobs they've done. They took shifts, working in the aftermath of Wrangell's deadly November landslide. They looked for the six people who were missing.
This landslide was really exhausting for the dogs. There was just plowing through that mud, and that muck was pretty tough on them.
The dogs were joined by dog teammates from Sitka and Juneau. Prasunka says in this search, dogs were mostly used to find out if the human search and rescue workers were looking in the right spots. The landslide caused extensive damage, so the team was sorting through huge debris like piles of uprooted trees.
A crew of searchers would identify a spot that they felt was interesting, and a dog would be brought in to verify whether there was a target there or not.
In the end, the team found all the bodies except one. They searched for 12-year-old Derek Heller for 15 days before ending the search. Prasunka says working with dogs can save a lot of time, and he says it can really make a difference in how the work feels for the search team.
The dogs, when they verify what the searchers are doing, it buoys their spirits to keep pushing on, because otherwise you don't know if you're making any headway. So we kind of were, in some ways, cheerleaders to the heroic work of the ground searchers who just kept digging and digging and digging.
Wrangell Fire Chief Tim Bunis is responsible for leading the search and rescue team under the state troopers. He says the team being part of a 2,000-person small town made this search really tough.
For us, it was a very long, difficult search. You know, most of the searchers knew at least one or more of the family members that were lost that we were looking for. So it just kind of throws a different little wrench in it that the personal side of it that really makes it difficult.
But he says having dogs on the team made the search more efficient.
They're able to track by scent or by air. They're very useful in the search where we're in a smaller area like that to get us honed in on the area that we need to be working in.
And that efficiency can mean a lot. Dog handler Prasunka says having dogs embedded in a town search and rescue team means dogs can get out to search much earlier.
So if you're waiting for dogs to fly in from somewhere else, that can take a while, and the dog arrives and it's been flying and it's off its game a little bit, and the handler doesn't know the terrain like you know the terrain. And so to have embedded teams, I think, is absolutely crucial.
And in the urgency of a search and rescue, that difference in time could mean life or death for whoever is missing.
We're seeing more and more searches that involve elders, for example, who maybe have some type of cognitive impairment. And in the Alaskan climate, hours can make a difference.
Prasunka says when he works on search and rescue, he uses a technique his wife, a doctor, taught him to help him get through emotionally.
This is somebody else's tragedy, and I'm a helper. And I'm not helpful if I make it my tragedy.
But he says he finds it hard to let go when the SAR team can't find someone.
We had a search once. I searched on my own for another 6 months, walking back roads looking for the person that was lost with my dogs. I have a hard time turning off. I don't like not finding who I'm looking for. And I know everybody on the team feels the same way. The whole SAR group feels the same way.
He says he doesn't know if he'll ever stop thinking about it all. But he says working with his dogs helps keep him present.
You can't be all depressed around your dogs. They need you to lead them, so.
Prasanka says he's trying to focus on the next training he and his dogs will do. Reporting in Wrangell,
with Colette Zarnicki,
I'm Rachel Cassandra.
The roster for the 2024 Yukon Quest 300 is up to 15 mushers. That's the minimum number for organizers to hold the race.
We're for sure going to have a race, and we're really excited.
Yukon Quest Alaska Executive Director Lisa Nilsson says she expects the roster to grow before the entry deadline.
Hoping for a little push. People have until January 19th to sign up for the race.
Mushers registered so far include defending and five-time Quest champion Brent Sass of Eureka, fellow past competitors Deke Naget Kevorgan, Jason Mackey, and Laurel Eklund, as well as a host of rookies. The trail plan for the 300-mile race will take mushers from Fairbanks to Circle, then along a section of the Yukon River before finishing in Central.
We, of course, have some trail crews going out there to really nail down on exactly what that's going to look like. So that'll change depending on what they see. But, we've got a pretty good idea for the trail, and we're really excited about it.
The Yukon Quest Alaska is also holding a 200-mile race from Fairbanks to Central and an 80-mile event from Fairbanks to Two Rivers and back. Nilsson says they're working on preparations for a downtown start.
As of right now, our plan is to do a 2nd Avenue start, 11 a.m., February 3rd.
Yukon Quest Alaska is seeking volunteers to help at the start and the pre-race vet check. A cargo ship carrying lithium-ion batteries reported a cargo fire Thursday morning and is currently anchored outside of Unalaska Bay while the Coast Guard works to stabilize the vessel. The Panama-flagged ship, the MV Genius Star 11, was approximately 200 miles southwest of Dutch Harbor when the Coast Guard received a call for assistance. Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander Michael Salerno says the 410-foot vessel was traveling from Korea to San Diego, but the Coast Guard directed the ship to Dutch Harbor.
We launched an HC-130 airplane from Air Station Kodiak, and we also diverted Coast Guard cutter Alex Haley to assist.
Acting Unalaska City Manager Margie Veder is leading the Emergency Operations Center. She says the situation is still developing, that no plans have been verified.
The vessel is not in port, and there is not even a firm plan for it to be in port at this point. We just don't know yet.
Coast Guard Captain Chris Culpepper says the crew members aboard the cargo ship acted quickly and contained the fire. The crew reported no injuries aboard the vessel, and the cause of the fire has not yet been determined. Resolve Marine, a maritime response and recovery company, has been deployed to respond. The ship is currently anchored about 8 miles from the Unalaska City dock. As of Sunday, the Coast Guard continues to assist with and assess the fire. An overflight image from a Coast Guard C-130 shows heat and signatures from the engine room and exhaust stack, but no excess heat in the cargo areas were detected. The ship continues to be monitored for possible flare-ups. Cause of the fire is yet unknown. Juneau's only electric bus hasn't hit the road in more than a year. Instead, it's been sitting in the parking lot in the Mendenhall Valley since November of 2022. It's undergone a handful of repairs over the past year, but continues to remain out of commission. Capital Transit Superintendent Rich Ross says the bus's problems have been a disappointing start to an exciting plan to electrify Juneau's bus fleet.
Being early adopters of new technology, we expected some hiccups along the way. We definitely did not expect them to be this significant.
The electric bus began making regular routes in the spring of 2021. At the time, it was considered groundbreaking as one of the first municipally operated electric buses in the state. It cost about $1 million along with its charging infrastructure and was paid for using a federal transportation grant and a state settlement fund. Ross says the bus first went out of commission because of issues with its wiring harness. It took the manufacturer, Proterra, until May to source the needed repairs. But after that fix was done, another problem surfaced.
We were test driving the bus to verify the repairs, and one of the transmissions exploded on it.
The new transmission didn't arrive until November. That's partly because Proterra filed bankruptcy this summer. Ross says the transmission problem is now fixed, but there's still a bunch of other issues keeping it idled this winter. The additional repairs are expected to take at least another 6 months. They have all been paid for by Proterra. Despite the problems with the electric bus, 7 more are on their way to Juneau next year. But they are manufactured by a different company, Gillig, the same company that makes Capital Transit's diesel fleet. Ross says that it will hopefully mean easier maintenance and more reliable buses than the first one, but it's not a guarantee. Ross says moving forward with newer technology is always a process, but he thinks the benefits will outweigh the problems that may arise.
I think it'll greatly reduce emissions. It's one of the assembly's goals is to reduce emissions, and one of the low-hanging fruit to being able to do that is transportation.
The new buses were purchased with funding from the Federal Transit Administration. They were supposed to arrive early next summer, but Ross says building delays mean they probably won't be shipped to Juneau until next fall.